Time now for Labor Press, your source for daily labor news and industry information. Hear discussions on the workplace and interesting talk from prominent and influential personalities in the labor community. And now your hosts, Neil Tippel and Bill Holfeld.
Accountability. Welcome to Labor Press's Blue Collar Buzz here on AM 970 The Answer. I'm your host, Joe Maniscalco, for the evening. And you picked a great time to tune in because we're talking to writer and producer Deborah Whitfield. She is the person behind a great new play about the infamous Shirtwaist Triangle Factory fire that had such a huge impact here in New York. And it's playing now, and welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you, Joe. Happy to be here.
Of course, you know, everybody in the labor movement knows about the Triangle Factory fire, such a seminal event. It's observed every year here in March. It's still standing, the building's still standing, the Ash Building on Washington Place.
Yes.
Please talk about, what drew you to this project and why you feel it's so important.
That's such a great question. I've just always been fascinated by the event because of the innate, human toll, the bodies that were lost, the souls that were lost. Most of the women and men that died were immigrants, young female immigrants from Italy, Russia, some were from Ireland, and they came to America, New York specifically, to fulfill their dreams of a better life, of more money, more success, more happiness. And they were abused, I think, by the bosses of the Triangle, not necessarily sexually abused, but certainly physically, emotionally, spiritually. They were worked to the bone. They worked oftentimes 60, sometimes 70 hours a week.
And a lot of these were kids, right? The youngest victim was like 14 years old?
Yes. Most of the victims were female teenagers. Yeah.
And it was like 146 people.
You know all the details. I'm very impressed. Exactly. I believe there were 123 females and 23 males that perished that day, and then 71 that were injured in addition to the ones that died. And yes, most of them were teenage immigrant girls.
And for people that don't know, the owners, I don't know if that's still in question, but they were actually locked in.
Okay, so I did extensive research before I wrote the play. I did about a year of research. I read a lot of books. I did read the transcript from the trial. It was 1,100 pages, some very dry material. So what I could glean from my research is that they really, the reason that the owners were acquitted, and they were acquitted, is because they couldn't prove that they knew the doors were locked. They couldn't prove it, even though they locked the doors every day to keep the girls from stealing, to keep them from taking unscheduled breaks. But they couldn't prove it in a court of law, so they were acquitted. The fact is that these lofts were very large. I'm sure you know because you seem well-versed on the subject. So the Triangle Waste Company occupied the 8th, 9th, and 10th floors of the Ash Building, which is now the Brown Building, which is part of NYU. As you say, it still exists today. It's about a block away from Washington Square Park. And it was such a large, the lofts were so large, they had two sets of doors and two sets of elevators on each floor. So what they would refer to as the Green Street side, those elevators and those doors were unlocked. It was the elevators and the doors on the Washington Place side. They were the ones that were locked. However, when the fire broke out, it raged so quickly. I believe the whole event lasted something like 18 minutes from start to finish. So the girls that were on the Green Street side, they got out because those doors were unlocked. But the ones on the Washington Place side when they saw the door was locked, then they ran to the Green Street side. But by the time they got there, the fire was it was too hot. So that's why they had to either jump from the 8th, 9th, 10th floor, or they burned to death, or they were overcome by the smoke.
Now, your play Fire actually looks at the actual incident and also some of the aftermath as well, is that right?
Well, yes. So what I thought would be interesting is to extrapolate some courtroom scenes, the ones that I thought would have a bearing on, you know, the causes of the fire or the alleged causes, because they still don't really know what happened. They surmise that somebody had, you know, maybe flicked a cigarette butt or a match into a wicker basket that was full of these scraps, because the floors were just full of fabric and scraps and oil cans and paper patterns hanging, you know, from the ceiling. I mean, it was just, you know, ready for a fire to take place, actually. So I extrapolated some scenes from the transcript, and then I interweave them with fictionalized accounts. You know, I made up all the characters. I made up their situations. Because when I first wrote the play, and I don't really think that the director is following this, and that's fine because he has his own concept, but my original idea was to write a play that would be sort of a disaster movie because all the elements were there. You know going in what's going to happen. Mm. You know there's going to be a fire. You know a lot of people are going to die. But like any disaster movie, you don't know who's going to die, but you want to come to really love and know the characters, because otherwise when they do die, you're not going to care. Right. So I knew that was really important. And so we go back and forth in time. Some of the scenes are before the fire, and then we go to a courtroom scene, which would be after the fire, because the owners were on trial in December of 1911, and the fire happened in March of 1911. So we go back and forth, and then, of course, a big chunk of the play deals with the actual day of the fire. And then there are some, I don't know how to describe them, not fantasy, but maybe metaphysical elements to the script. It's very theatrical. It's very cinematic. There are 23 scenes.
And unfortunately, it has great significance today in the labor movement. In New York City, I mean, what's happening with construction workers, more than, you know, about 40 killed in the last 2 years alone. Yeah. Again, immigrant workers, poor immigrant workers.
Well, you may, I know you, do you remember that horrible tragedy that happened in London a few months ago, the Grenfell Tower? The night that was happening in London, that was the first reading that I had of my play, just a very informal reading in my apartment. We were actually reading my play Fire when that real fire was happening, unbeknownst to us. Mm-hmm. And when I read the details, I thought, I don't believe it. The same situation, as you say, the poor immigrants, the greedy landlords who did not put in place the fire precautions that they should have, those poor people either jumped or burned to death. It was eerily similar. And you know, over 100 years later, as you say, I mean, some things, you know, never change. And that is upsetting.
It goes also, I think, it demonstrates how important art and social justice movement is, you know, how the powerful role that art has to play, because who else is talking about this kind of stuff?
Well, and, you know, it's interesting, Joe, because when I wrote the play, I wrote it because, as I say, I was fascinated and moved, you know, by the stories of these poor girls and by the situation, not because I wanted to make any, any social justice statements, but it's vast, because I wrote it, probably my first draft was, I would say, 6 or 7 years ago. And I never imagined that it would be so resonant, you know, now. I didn't, and it is fascinating. And I am happy in a way if I can, you know, draw some attention to injustices that still exist today. By maybe it's a little easier to accept because it's removed. I mean, you're watching events that happened over 100 years ago, but then they can still have significance, you know, in today's society.
And I know we got about 2 minutes left. I know that you have a great cast who are really, I know a couple of the people in the play that, wow, you couldn't get better people to bring the story to life.
You know, Joe, we have Jay Russell, who is a Broadway actor, Stuart Zagnett, also Broadway, off-Broadway credits. And everybody is fantastic. The director is wonderful, Benjamin Vertel. Of course, I'm prejudiced, but I will say it's a very high caliber production. I hope people will come and see us. And
well, it's playing right now. Yes. Let everybody know how they can get tickets.
It's very easy. Just go to firetheplay.com, and every detail, the dates, the time, how to buy tickets. You can buy tickets right there on the website. We play until October 28th. Most of the shows are at 8. We have some 3 o'clock matinees on Saturdays and Sundays. And we would love to see you there.
All right, great. There you have it, folks. Run out and go see Fire. Did we mention where it's actually playing?
It's in Theater 54, 244 West 54th Street, the 12th floor. That's between Broadway and 8th.
That's great. Deborah, thanks for being on. Please, we're going to break for a message right now, and we'll be back with more Blue Collar Buzz here on AM 970 The Answer.
You're listening to Labor Press on AM 970 The Answer.